Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live recording on how to stay positive in a negative world was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. And now, here's Andrew.
I've got a teaching entitled Harnessing Your Emotions. And in that teaching, the cover on that is a horse that is out of control. The saddle has come loose. It's over on the underside. The guy's holding on to the neck of the horse, riding on the bottom side, and the horse is out of control. And the reason I put that picture on there is because, in my impression, this is what it's like. If you ever let your emotions get out of control and run away, it's like trying to stop a horse. A 2,000-pound horse is not going to be stopped by a 200-pound person. It's a lot easier to keep it from ever getting out of control than it is, once it's out of control, to rein it in. And it's the same thing with your emotions. I believe that the Lord, the very first thing He said to His disciples in a crisis situation is, don't let your heart be troubled. If you ever let your emotions go, if you ever give in to sorrow and grief and hurt and pain and fear and all of these negative emotions, I guarantee you, it is very, very hard to rein them in. It's a lot easier just not to release those things in the first place. And I know that there's many of you here that think, well, I don't ever get up and just say, God, I want to have a bad day. I want to have bad emotions today. I didn't choose this. No, you don't get up in the morning and just choose that today I'm going to be depressed and discouraged. But if something negative happens, most people feel no responsibility or no authority to control themselves. They think, well, look what happened, and I would be in denial if I wasn't discouraged and depressed. Amen or oh me. Most people feel no accountability in this area. I'm telling you, Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Grab hold of your emotions. Don't let your emotions get away. You know, I've got my son Peter with us here. I don't know if he's in here today, but he was the one that died. And when we got that word, I guarantee you, I started to feel grief, sorrow, sadness, confusion, condemnation, anything that anybody else would feel. But you know what? These exact truths are the things that God spoke to me. Don't let your heart be troubled. And man, I guarantee you, I just refuse to be troubled. I refuse to let my emotions run away with me. I refuse to give in to this. And I mean, it was a fight. And I just started praising God. I started praising Him when I didn't feel like praising Him. I started saying, God, You aren't the fault. You did not kill my son. This is not Your... And I just started saying, You are worthy. You are a good God. And I started praising Him. And I didn't feel like praising Him. But I praised Him just because I wasn't going to let my heart be troubled. And praise God, the Lord brought him back after being dead for 5 hours, brought him back to life, and he's alive today. And I got a granddaughter that's here with us because of that. But I am absolutely convinced that if I would have let grief and sorrow play out and run its natural course and let me just grieve and be brought to my knees, and then after all of this has happened, if I tried to stand up and release my faith, it wouldn't have worked. Jesus, the very first thing He said to His disciples during a crisis time is, don't let your heart be troubled. He gave you a command, and I believe He's saying the exact same thing to us. If you are going to be positive in the midst of a negative world, if you're going to overcome these things, you are going to have to grab hold of your emotions, and you're going to have to take some responsibility and say, I am not going to fall apart like a $2 suitcase just because this thing happened to me. You are going to have to stand and grab hold of your emotions and encourage yourself in the Lord. I got a lot more to say about how you can do that, but the very first step is you got to recognize you can do it. If you don't think you can do it, if you think, but I'm only human, I just can't do things like this, well then get only human results. If you want supernatural results, you're going to have to draw on the supernatural reserves that God has placed on the inside of you. You are a born-again person. If you aren't born again, I can help you solve that problem too. But if you have been born again, then God's power lives on the inside of you. And praise God, you do not have to face all of the pressures and the problems of this world with only human ability You need to get supernatural ability. You know, I've got a friend of mine who is a psychologist in, I forget where it is, Richmond, I believe, Richmond, Virginia. And she has sent, I couldn't tell you, but many, many people to our Bible school. And she has got all of my teaching tapes and books and stuff. And when people come into her office, she says, here's your problem. You can either read these books, study these materials and get set free for free, or you can come to me and I'll give you psychology and help you to cope with it. And that's the way she approaches it. And you know what? A lot of people have gotten set free and have come to our Bible college and are out ministering and doing things. But I'm not against psychologists if they just recognize that the way that they're taught is only how to cope naturally. But I'm saying that there is a part of you that isn't natural. There's a part of you, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That's what's in your spirit, and it's always that way. The time you're wanting to just fall apart and cry and be so depressed, your spirit is rejoicing in the Lord. You've got a choice whether you're going to operate in the spirit or whether you're going to operate in the flesh. Are you going to go by how you feel? Or are you going to go by just the natural circumstances? Or are you going to stand on what God's word has to say? And faith is always the antidote to it. There is an answer. Before you ever had your problem, God created the supply. The supply is greater than your need, and it's always there. By faith, you just have to perceive it. And you know, that's the reason that in John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know why he started talking about heaven? Because if everything around you is so bleak, if it looks like nothing is going to work, if it looks like you're going to die, well, then you still can always rejoice in the fact that, praise God, in your Father's house there's many mansions. If the worst thing that could happen to you is that you die. And if you die, big deal. We go to be with the Lord. Paul talked about that in Philippians chapter 1. He was trying to comfort his supporters. He wrote to him in Philippians chapter 1, verse 5, and he says, I praise God every time for your fellowship. That word fellowship is Greek word koinonia. It means partnership. These were the only people, Philippians chapter 4, that ever supported him after he left the local church. And they did it not only once or twice. They would have done it multiple times if they could. He says, I praise God for you partners. And he was trying to encourage them because they had heard that he was in prison. And he says, don't worry about me, because the things that have happened to me have worked out rather for the furtherance of the gospel. See, Paul was so committed to putting God first and promoting the gospel that he thought it would be comforting to people. I'm in prison and they may kill me, but that's okay because the gospel is being promoted. That's a good attitude. To him, the gospel was so important that it was worth him sacrificing his life. One of the reasons that things bother us is so much is because your life is so valuable to you. There's something bigger than you. There's something bigger than your life. And that's God. And you know what? If you would find that out, it would take away a lot of the pressures of life on you. But if worse comes to worse, if you have the right attitude, the very worst thing that can happen is that you die and you go right into the presence of the Lord. And over there in Philippians chapter 1, after he had told them, don't worry because these things have turned out to the furtherance of the gospel, he says, I may be killed, but that's fine, because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He says, I would rather go to be with the Lord, but I know it's necessary for your sake for me to stay here. So for that reason, I'll stay here. But he was so excited about the Lord. He was so heavenly minded that I guarantee you all of the pressures of this life just didn't bother him. That's awesome. And you know what? That's faith. And that's the reason Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. And then if you're having trouble seeing any positive outcome in this life, just think about heaven. It's all going to be worked out in heaven. Worst thing could happen is we die and we go to heaven and spend eternity with the Lord. You can't lose for winning. Man, God is for us. Brothers and sisters, I'm just trying to get across today that we are not drawing on everything that God has given us. Most of us see ourselves as only human. You aren't only human. If you've been born again, you have the same power on the inside of you that was inside of Jesus and enabled him, it says, for the joy that was set before him, which is faith. He wasn't just looking at the cross. He wasn't just looking at the shame. He was looking at the results. And for that joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12:3. Jesus used faith. That's how he endured the cross. Peter used faith. And this isn't written in Scripture, but the church history says that Peter actually refused to be crucified right side up the way that Jesus was. He was crucified upside down, feeling unworthy to be crucified in the same manner that Jesus was. And so he did it, and he did it joyfully and with joy and peace. He was able to endure crucifixion because he was operating in faith. I've got this book entitled Christian Martyrs. I forget, the Encyclopedia of Christian Martyrs, and it talks about Thomas, I believe it was, that was crucified, and they left him there in front of this multitude just to mock him. And he got to preaching to them and started seeing people born again, and people were getting saved. And there was over 5,000 people born again watching him crucified. And it was so bad that they went to take him down because he was leading so many people to the Lord. And he refused to come down. He refused to come down because he was being more effective. He was seeing people's lives changed by him dying. And he refused to allow them to take him down. And he died a martyr's death because, man, there was something more important to him than just his own physical life. Isn't that awesome? You've got that supernatural power on the inside of you. We need to draw on it. We need to use it. You can be strong and of a good courage instead of discouraged, fearful, and dismayed. Amen. But the first thing is you got to believe that you've got it and you've got to pursue it. If you don't have that as a goal, you'll never obtain it. The first step is you got to recognize that there is supernatural ability on the inside of you and begin to use it. You know, if you aren't born again today, you need to be born again because without Jesus, all you are is human.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to stay positive in a negative world. This 5-part teaching series was recorded at our 2010 Phoenix Gospel Truth Seminar. We'll send it to you in exchange for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1065C for CD or R3209D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. A single CD covering today's topic is also available free of charge to those who cannot send a gift. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111. Or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to invite you to call our helpline. The number is 719-635-1111. And not only can you order product that we have offered over radio and over television through this helpline, but there are people there that can minister to you. And we have some really mature Christians. I get compliments on the people that answer our phones constantly. And they are not here just to take an order. They are there to be a blessing to you. So once again, that number is 719-635-1111. We operate from 4 a.m. until 10 o'clock p.m. every weekday. And you can not only get the materials, but you can also receive prayer, and we want to help you any way we can.